Morning.
My son is getting ready to celebrate his 10th birthday. He had his friends over for an overnighter. And yes, Shauna and I have still not slept yet. But that being said, one of the things that goes on in our house is kind of who's in charge. And even though I know I'm in charge and he knows I'm in charge and I know Shauna's actually in charge, but even though I know all this, he's an alpha male. And I'm an alpha male, we battle it out. But I also know about my son is that he has an innate need to make sure things are done in a particular way. And it's pretty good on some things. On other things, you have to remind him on stuff. And so when friends are coming over, we have this conversation a lot. Remember, this is hospitality. And so we're sharing our stuff, and we're making sure that we're all on the same page because we don't want anybody to feel bad or hurt. Do you hear me? And his response almost always is, yes. But he's never looking at me, and so I'm really questioning, do you hear me? And really, what he's hearing me say is, please don't punch anybody. Jesus shared a story of Scripture with this idea of do you hear what I'm talking about? Haggai shared what God was putting on the people of Israel with the same intent. Do you really hear what I'm talking about? When Jesus shared his story, it was about two different people who built two different houses. One built one on a very sandy foundation. There was no anchor. There was no roots. When the storm came, it devastated it. The other man built his house on a solid rock. It was tethered and anchored in deep. And when the storm came, we know how it ends. The story goes, it remained. But too many of us, if we're going to be real honest, too many have been neglecting God's attempt to pursue them and their need to follow him. Instead, many kind of follow their own way, and their foundation, when it is shaken, they seem caught off guard, and they seem very unprepared. And you cannot, if we learned last week, you cannot build this phenomenal life, this castle that would fulfill every aspect of your American dream, and ignore God and expect to be fulfilled. See, my advice last week, and honestly, it's my advice every week, pursue Jesus. Please, if you don't hear anything each week, take that lesson home every week. Please, pursue Jesus. Because this is where we're going to pick back up today, friends. We left last week with the people of Israel being called out by God. Through Haggai, God reminded them that he had rescued them once from their enemy. And in the midst of being rescued, what did they do? When it got tough, they abandoned their worship of him. They built their homes. They built their city. They built their livelihood back up. But when it came to the temple, they got the foundation built. It went up quickly. They celebrated. But at the first sign of slight pushback, they threw in the towel. See, after the foundation went up, they abandoned their work on probably the most important thing in their life, which was simply this. It was the temple of God, the place where they go and worship. So Haggai, he comes in along, and last week we learned that he shares that God was simply this. He was displeased. You've abandoned your worship of me. I save you. I rescue you. You abandon. What would you do? I mean, what do we do now? Have you ever thought about that? We left last week not really knowing for sure how they would respond. I kind of gave you an inclination that would be a good thing. So what did they do? I mean, what would you do in this moment if you were in their shoes? See, in the past, the response of the Israelites, and to be honest, it's many of us today, it was one of ignoring. But this time it was actually something different. Israel listened in, and here's how they responded. So if you would open up your Bibles to Haggai chapter 1, we're going to look at four verses today, verses 12 through 15, and then we're going to take a moment to pray and just ask for the Holy Spirit to move in this place. So if you would read with me Haggai chapter 1, starting in verse 12. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as their Lord had God had sent them. And the people feared the Lord. And then Haggai, the messenger of the Lord, spoke to the people with the Lord's message. I am with you, declares the Lord. And the Lord stirred up in the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came out and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, on the 24th day of the month, in the sixth month, in the second year of Darius the king. You may not understand or recognize the weight of this passage today, but it is a call to a response from all of us sitting here today. So we're going to ask you now, just right where you are, just bow your heads and lean in with me as we ask God to fill this place. Father, we thank you. We thank you for being so faithful. Lord, we may not even recognize that your presence is actually with us. Some of us are so overwhelmed by it. Others, Lord, we are distracted by the enemy. And Lord, no matter where we are, we just pray for your Holy Spirit to fall in this place, to fill us up. Help us to move out of the way so that your word can reign. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So, God's now spoken through Haggai. The people heard God's voice and they respond. And here's my favorite part of this whole story. They respond obediently. As the high priest responded, so too the people responded. Now, all of this was because of an advance of one significant event. All of this took place because of one thing. The word of God was spoken. The significance of God's words to the Jewish people should not be downplayed here. When God's word penetrates us. Now, here's where I'm tying in Jonah's story. You see, when I ask him, no, but do you hear me? He knows I'm getting to the root of something. It's not about the simplicity of a question. There's deeper meaning. Son, do you actually hear me? And I believe this is exactly what is taking place here. Do you hear me? See, when God's word penetrates us, when we really hear him, it can lead us to a real change. And the key is, we must be a people that hear, not just listen. Any of you just kind of listen sometimes and not hear a single thing. But when we really hear God's word, when we really hear it, it always stirs us. Sometimes it stirs us in a way that makes us reflect upon things we need to change. Sometimes it stirs us in a way that makes us just praise his holy name. But there's always a benefit that comes with the stirring of the Word of God in our hearts. And the first benefit that we can have when we hear the Word of God, and I mean hear it, is this, that God's Word can bring obedience. God's Word can bring obedience. This first noticeable response from the people is one of obedience. The passage tells us that they, the whole remnant of people, obeyed the voice of the Lord. Now, it's not an audible voice of God speaking to them from heaven. So how is it that God actually spoke to them? And through this one verse, we find two very important realities about God's word and our obedience to it. First, we must take note of this. I want you to hear this very clearly, that God's word is powerful and God's word is effective. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and of the spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. We must not ever forget that God's words, are you ready for this? This will blow your mind. God's words are God's words. They ain't mine. They are always his words. They always hold authority. It may not feel good to you, but if I'm being faithful to his truth, and you're being faithful with your ears, God's words are God's words. Amen? That never changes. It should cut us. Effectively, quickly, straight to the chaos, straight to the matter of our hearts. This passage is a strong and compelling argument for the Word of God being not only strong enough, more than enough to break through any barrier and any stubbornness that I might carry around with me. But we also learn from verse 12, God can effectively deliver His Word through a certain people. They're called preachers. Now, I want to make sure you understand this. Haggai is clearly a preacher. Not only do the Israelite people hear God's voice and respond to God's voice, they're responding to Haggai's voice, who is speaking as a representation and representative of God. Haggai was a prophet delivering God's words under God's power and because of God's authority. And sometimes when you are asked to deliver the truth of God, it's not always fun. And so I'm imagining Haggai going out to these 90,000 people and he's saying, look, you're stinking it up right now. Have a good week. It gets tiresome. I'm telling you, as a preacher, sometimes, and what I love about God is he rarely ever puts a message on my heart that does not first affect me before you ever hear it here. This is a big, big deal that's taken place. This message cannot be casually dismissed. And thankfully, the Israelite people didn't make this tragic mistake here. They've done it in the past. But it's no small thing. I want you to take note here that they're confronted with God's words. The Israelite people, they do repent. But notice when they repented. They repented after their leadership did. After their high priest, their spiritual leader, first modeled repentance. It's why I talk about the failures that I do have and every time that God rescues me from them. I want to model for you the very thing that I know God is asking of you. And sometimes I don't do it well. Sometimes it doesn't matter how well I do it. It's that I do it. You want to see more repentance in this world? Do you want to see this world broken to the core of what it needs to be? Do you want this world to see Jesus? Model repentance. You want your kids to know the Lord? Model repentance. You want people to come into this place and hear the truth of God and respond? Then you model repentance. Because here's what's happening. The leaders of the church should model it. The parents of children, you should model it. Every believer hoping to make an impact in the lives of others, you should model it. And when you become aware of God's word being direct with you, it should drive you from hurting in the heart to hitting your knees, to a place of confession and humility and obedience and change. In Psalm 51:17, it says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Oh God, you will not despise those things. And so my prayer for you in this room today, I pray that you are impacted today by the word of God, not because of anything that I've said, but because of what he said, and that you bow down in obedience because we have come into the presence of God and we are confronted with the reality of this. He really is a great God. He's bigger than any Chris Tomlin song. He is a big God, and he has rescued you, and he has rescued me, and he does it over and over and over again. He's nothing but a life full of grace. And when we really hear, I mean really hear the word of God, it stirs us. The second benefit we will have is this, that God can actually bring comfort and blessing. I've had this argument numerous times, and the common response to people who don't want to show up and hear a preacher talk, do you know why? Because they're confronted with the Word of God, and they think, well, all he's doing is bashing me, but I keep looking at the Word of God, and I'm going, man, even when God's calling him down, he's still loving on him, right? I want to give you a little insight to who I am as a preacher. Each week, I come to this place, and I am ready to throw up. Be real honest with you. I'm a nervous wreck. I get up here every single week. My knees are weak and I'm ready to pass out. And I'll tell you, I used to be that way with worship, but then I found out I could hide behind a guitar. I can't hide behind this table. I'm a train wreck. And do you know why? In 20 years, I've been preaching and I still come to the same place and I still lack this confidence when I come up to this place. And here's exactly why. Because for 20 years, I have felt the pressure and the nerves of what I'm getting ready to do. And that's speak the words of God. And you don't want to mess that up, Jack. People's lives are on the line. And while I know this may seem odd to you, and it may not seem like the case to you sometimes, this is heavy stuff to get out. The weight of the word of God carries so much. And while I know it's convicting, I get that it should make you feel that way at times. And I also know it's uplifting. To maneuver through this truth each week brings pressure to me. I pray each week for conviction, but the other part that's just as key is I pray for this conviction, and then what I see in return after he convicts, if he convicts, I always see comfort and blessing. Every single time. Look at what Haggai delivered from God in verse 13. Now remember, they've abandoned God. They haven't, for 16 years, haven't touched this foundation. Verse 13, then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message of the Lord to the people. This is God speaking. I am with you, declares the Lord. You may have not been with me. Oh, but I have most certainly been with you. So first we see this promise of comfort. God has not forgotten them. He says, I'm with you. He tells them. This theme is seen throughout all of Scripture. We find people alone and in pain, and God reminds them that He doesn't abandon them. In Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you. He does not forsake you. And such is the way with Israel. They find themselves hurting and in pain. And such is the way with us. We find ourselves hurting and in pain. Anybody up in here willing to admit you're hurting and you're in pain? And what God is saying all along, He says it to the people of Israel and He says it to us, His people. Not a lot has changed. I'm with you. I know this is hard. I'm with you. But much like Peter in the courtyard, the day that Jesus is on his trial, we're tempted to believe God is not what he said he was. We're tempted to believe that God is not as strong and powerful as we thought he was. And so when confronted with the idea of to be able to say, I do not know him, that's what Peter did. And then we hear the crow cry out. So do we. When we do this, our shift has left from being a focus on God and what he can do and turn ourselves to the only source of hope we have left, ourselves. So Haggai speaks to this, and he speaks this beautiful comfort. God is with you. You know how absent you've been, but he's still there. God is our God, we are his people, and that should comfort us. Nothing has changed since Haggai. And it's never going to change. But along with comfort, we also find blessing. If you remember in last week's message, the people had been planting and eating and drinking and dressing in nice clothes and earning lots of money. And yet, what did God say to them? You've got all this stuff and you're never satisfied. You have all this stuff and you still find yourself wanting. Even in the midst of this, God blessed them with his presence. Even in the midst of their dismissing him in their lives, God showed up again. He blesses them, and then he reminds them, you can persevere. You find yourself wanting, but I want you to be confident. Because I have great affection for you. I am an advocate on your behalf. I don't know how much more you can be blessed than that, friends. God is with us. I want to remind you, death has been defeated. Amen. Look, if he's defeated death, then his promise of evil being conquered in the end, pretty sure it's going to happen. And so finally, when we really hear God's words and it stirs us, the third benefit that we have is this. God's words promises grace. God's word promises grace. The response of God is actually incredible here. And it should not be missed. It's kind of a bit of foreshadowing with our own repentance today. When the people of Israel believed and that they were moved, they turned from their sins and God welcomed them back into his loving arms. In fact, God never left. Catch that. He never left. This is the greatest truth in all of Scripture. It's called grace. God is faithful and God is unwavering in his love for us. In fact, even in our disobedience, he is faithful and he is unwavering and he is loving and he is forgiving. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, Paul says, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am foremost, the worst. I'd love to tell Paul, I can give you a run for your money, buddy. And while we stand perpetually unfaithful and unforgiving and unloving and ungrateful, God stands with affection and grace ready to usher us into His family through redemption. You were meant for hell by the way that you live. And Jesus said, no, I have something else in mind. So let me take on hell for you. And we are offered life and death because of the resurrection of Jesus. All because of His radically sufficient grace. And this promise of God being with them, it's deeper than most of us probably can fathom. It's deeper than them hearing it for the first time. It's the most breathtaking proclamation of love. It points directly to the coming of Christ and the message of Jesus, Romans 5:8. But God shows His love for us in that while we were still what? Sinners. You just think of that sin. And He still died for you. Now I want to take note. This seems like one of those things you can just kind of overlook. Let's take note how the passage ends here. Notice what happens in verse 14 and 15. First, in verse 14, we see that they are cut to the heart, and they're moved, and their hands responded. Verse 14, and the Lord stirred up in the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the remnant of the people, and they came. Listen what they did. They were stirred, and what they do? Their hands followed. And they came, and they worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. You called me to action, I'm in action. See, true heart change should always lead to hands that follow. And then they go and they take all that energy that they have been putting into themselves over and over and over, and they pour it into the kingdom of God. And I want to take a look at verse 15, because to me, this is one of the most incredible things. Verse 15, and on the 24th day of the month, in the sixth month, in the second year of Darius the king. Catch that. It's a date, Derek. Whoopee. 24 days after Haggai comes, God has now seen His people completely transformed. In 24 days. I want to give you a little secret. I came here to Rossville, and you know what I had? I had a 5-year plan. Man, God could do so much bigger if I'd let Him in on that. Right? So many people will come and they look outside of what is offered with grace and they think, there's so much I got to change. I'm looking at this, I'm going, I don't know, He changed 90,000 people in 24 days. You got something on your side. But I want to make you a promise that you probably don't want to hear. I promise you this, your foundation in this life will be shaken. If it hasn't been yet, it will be. Putting your faith in Christ does not mean that you're ever free from that. But you are now sown into something different. When you put your faith into Him, you are sown into the rock of salvation. And then Christ takes what is meant for bad and He reframes it. He loves you. He pursues you. He's been pursuing you since before you were born. And right now, I believe louder than ever before in your life, He is wooing you to Himself. He just needs you to surrender to that. The nation of Israel is commanded to pursue God and that there would be peace in the land. And instead, what they do, they kind of forsook what He took and they pursued themselves. But, I love that word in Scripture. But God kept pursuing. And they returned and served the king who freed them once again. My friends, listen clearly. This right here is the gospel. There's nothing that I bring. It's just the straight up gospel. I am judged. You are judged. We are judged and enslaved to the captivity of our own sin. And at the right time, enter Jesus. And His blood was offered and He was sacrificed on our behalf and in our place. And we can all be reconciled to God in faith through Christ. Amen? I mean, that should get you excited. We have been redeemed from hell. How do you respond to that? See, the response really, it's a radical calling. Will you pursue His kingdom first? trusting him in the radical call of discipleship and obedience so that we might actually penetrate the culture with the gospel of Jesus Christ instead of conforming to the culture. See, I'm arguing for you this. I believe God's arguing for you this. Use your resources and your time and your treasures and your talents that God has given you. And we as a church must use our resources and our time and our treasures and our talents that God has given us for the redemptive purposes, what he's called the church to do. And you are in one of three places today. And if you want to argue with me, that's fine. We can hang out and argue about this. But you're in one of these three places. You are either in a place that needs to repent and give your life to Christ for the first time, or needing to repent and give your life back to Christ today, or you are living in a life of repentance and soaking in his grace, and you are ready and working and winning the world to him. There is no way around it. This is where we are, in one of those places. And how you respond will give you the answer of where you are, no matter what. Man, let me tell you something. His arms are wide open, and they are loaded with grace. Anybody in here ever been hurt before? Anybody ever been double-crossed? Anybody in this room? You know how many times I've double-crossed Jesus this last week? Today, and he loves me. And that's messed up, but awesome. And so what we have is an opportunity for all of us sitting in this room to confront ourselves to Jesus. And if he's calling you to repentance, repent, please. If he needs you to give more to him and his kingdom, listen. If you're not sure, ask him. He'll tell you. And if you are living a life full of grace, repentance isn't a big thing for you right now, that's good. Praise God that you're there. Would you please come alongside someone else and lead him to the cross? Look, there is no promise for tomorrow. I am sick and tired of having to say that. I have done 3 funerals in the last 14 days. And let me tell you something. I hate coming to a place knowing the reality of death sitting before you and thinking of every person that I've encountered that I wish I had shared the gospel with. But it was either too inconvenient, too scary, or too much to deal with that day. Shame on me. He went to hell on my behalf. Shame on me. I love you guys, but this really isn't about my love for you. It's about his love for you. You can reject everything that I have to say. That's okay. I'm just giving you his truth. Wrestle with that today. We're going to have a time of worship here in just a little bit. We have a young lady who is going to publicly dedicate her life to Christ. I'm sorry. She's ready to go all in. She's ready to learn more. She wants the church to hold her accountable to it. We're going to pray for her. Then we're going to hear of 2 young people who were centered in the Word before they ever met. One of them who grew up in this church and then now are serving down. You can't get much more southern in Mexico than where they are right now. And loving kids to Christ. Somewhere along the line, obedience takes place. You either do it or you don't. And so I'm going to ask you right now where you are, just take a moment just to pray, and listen. And I want you to hear it as if God is saying these words to you. Yeah. But do you hear me? Let's go to the Word, or to the Lord in prayer.
Lord, thank you for knowing all of me and looking past what I tried to hide from you. No, actually, you don't look past it, Lord. You kind of invade that area and take it over. Thank you. Lord, there are, I know right now in this room specifically, God has a very definitive calling on the hearts of some individuals in here. People are wrestling. Good. Let them wrestle, Lord. Wrestle with them. Father, make yourself known to them. May we be the Israelites that Haggai approached, hearing the faithfulness of Jesus Christ right before them. They haven't even met him. The story of redemption lived up in those words that God spoke through Haggai. I am with you. A reflection of the words from Jesus himself. I am with you, even to the end of the age. Father, I confess my life to you. Make me clean once again. Thank you for being faithful when I'm unfaithful, for offering grace when I deserve hell, and for being the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who defeated death. It's in Jesus' name.